Chapter 6. Welcome to another episode of our podcast series, where we explore the wisdom of the ages through the lens of modern urban living. Today, we dive into Chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the most profound and timeless scriptures of ancient India. The Bhagavad Gita is a philosophical and spiritual text that consists of 18 chapters, and it is widely regarded as one of the greatest works of literature ever written. It contains a conversation between Lord Krishna, the incarnation of the divine, and Arjuna, a warrior prince, who is facing a moral dilemma on the battlefield. The discourse takes place in the midst of a great war. But it is more than a historical account of a battle. It is a universal message that is relevant to people of all ages and cultures. Chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita is titled Dhyana Yoga, which means the yoga of meditation. In this chapter, Lord Krishna teaches Arjuna about the practice of meditation and the benefits it can bring to the mind and soul. The chapter is divided into 47 verses, and each verse contains a deep insight into the nature of the self, the mind, and the universe. To understand the essence of Chapter 6, we must first understand the concept of yoga. Yoga is a Sanskrit word that means union or connection. It is a spiritual practice that aims to unite the individual self with the universal self or the divine. Yoga is not just a physical exercise. It is a holistic system that involves the body, mind, and spirit. In Chapter 6, Lord Krishna explains that the ultimate goal of yoga is to attain inner peace and equanimity. He says, "One who is attached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work." This means the true yoga is not about renouncing the world or abstaining from action, but rather performing one's duties without being attached to the results. Lord Krishna introduces the practice of meditation as a means to achieve this inner peace. He says, "When the mind is fixed on the self and one is freed from the sense of duality as well as from the sense of happiness and distress in material existence, meditation is a way to focus the mind and turn it inward, towards the self. By doing so, one can transcend the dualities of life, such as pleasure and pain, and attain a state of equanimity." Lord Krishna goes on to explain the practical aspects of meditation, such as the posture, the breathing, and the focus. He says, "One should hold one's body, neck, and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life." This means that one should sit in a comfortable and stable posture, focus on the breath, and direct the mind towards the divine. But Lord Krishna also warns Arjuna about the challenges of meditation. He says, "The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. And to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. The mind is like a wild horse that needs to be tamed, and meditation is the tool to do so. However, it requires discipline patience, and perseverance. Lord Krishna concludes the chapter by emphasizing the importance of practicing meditation regularly and consistently. He says, "Thus, by constantly engaging in devotional service to me, the yogi whose mind is fixed on me attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness." The key to success in yoga and meditation is to have a single-minded focus on the divine and to cultivate devotion to it. So, what does this ancient wisdom have to offer to modern urban dwellers? In a world that is increasingly fast-paced, stressful, and disconnected, the practice of meditation can offer a much-needed respite. It can help us cultivate inner peace, clarity, and balance amidst the chaos of daily life. It can also help us connect with our true selves and with something greater than ourselves, whether we call it the divine, the universe, or simply love. Moreover, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita can inspire us to approach our work, relationships, and responsibilities with a new perspective. By focusing on the process rather than the outcome, and by detaching ourselves from the fruits of our actions, we can reduce the stress and anxiety that often comes with modern living. We can also develop a sense of service and devotion to a higher cause, whether it is to our community, our family, or the planet. In conclusion, Chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita offers a profound and practical guide to the practice of meditation and the attainment of inner peace. It reminds us that yoga is not a mere physical exercise, but a holistic system that involves the body, mind, and spirit. It teaches us to focus on the process rather than the outcome, and to cultivate detachment and devotion. These timeless teachings can offer us a valuable roadmap to navigate the challenges and opportunities of modern urban living. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us for our next episode.